the advice I always give people is it is definitely a marathon. It is not a sprint. And if you want to really make change, if you want impactful change that's going to be around a long time, you need to do things the right way.
They need to be inspired.
And a lot of good people that I never thought I would be.
Because already after day one, it's pushing me out of my comfort zone.
You're going to get out of it once you put in here.
Welcome to Media Now and Forever, a podcast where Aaron and Kate Manful share ideas on what's working in the high school newsroom and beyond.
We decided to bring our dinner conversations over the past 20 plus years directly to you. Me, from the perspective of a high school journalism advisor.
And me, from that of agency life, as owner of Fierce Creative, a graphic and web design agency.
Our plan each episode is to share tips on a variety of subjects, from organizing your team to sharing the tools we use to make it all happen.
Let's get to it. It seems like we have Zoom call after Zoom call. And what's funny recently is that we've been able to listen in on each other's Zoom calls. But as I was passing through your office area the other day, I heard you talking to yet another person. I feel like you are talking to so many about starting programs or rethinking their programs. And maybe this is the time that people are doing that. But I mean, is that true? Is that what was going on? People are just kind of taking this time to revamp? Or what?
It is. I was kind of stuck there on my office area that you were talking about because it's it's really part Legoland right now and part desk that needs some tidying and organizing. But it's an office. I didn't know we were
going to go through that detail of your desk right now. Well, but if you want me to share the list of
there's
things.
There's so many Legos there right now. It's good. No, you're right. Actually that day I had an email from a student looking to rethink their program a little bit. They'd seen some of the success that the students at North had and just reached out to me with a few questions. And I was talking to another, adult I knew who's going to be starting a new program and was just looking for some advice on, what to do, what some of those first steps were and things. And so it's conversations I like having with people, a lot of fun. I tell them all the time, like I've been at two different high schools to work on building those programs. We obviously built Media Now together and I love building things. But it's one of those things that's a lot of work and it's, thinking about starting over. I don't know that I'm there anymore, but yeah. I love the building. So I love talking about it. It's kind of like when people reach out and say, hey, I've got like $1,000 to spend in my program. What can I do with it? Well, I love spending other people's money. That's fun, right? Like giving them some advice on that. That's cool.
Perfect. Yeah. No, I think that's kind of like our Legos start there, right? Where you love building programs and love figuring it out and seeing what we can create with these different programs. So yeah, you guys were talking, I think more so of what are the fundamentals, I guess, that you apply to every time you're starting a new program. Again, yes, you've been at two different schools, but you have built and rebuilt every aspect, different staffs, different ways you think about your broadcast, think different elements you've been adding onto your website over the years. I mean, you've restructured your newsroom to fit the time and who you have in that room over and over. So what advice do you have for those people starting those programs and revamping?
Yeah, really, with both of those conversations I had this past week and with most of them, I see like five things cropping up kind of all the time. And while it might change a little bit from here or there with things I add into the mix, it really does come down to five things that I've always kind of stayed centered on. And I think the first one is that you just need to start slow and don't cut corners, right? Like I think a lot of times, and I was even at fault with this, at different points, but you get excited about something, you get a new job, you get to take over as an editor of something and you want it to go so well. And you have these big visions and you have these big dreams and you think that, you want to get there right away. And I think it's the advice I always give people is it is definitely a marathon. It is not a sprint. And if you want to really make change, if you want impactful change that's going to be around a long time, you need to do things the right way. Like the wrong way for me as an advisor would be for me to jump in if I notice that the newspaper needs to be better, you know, designed, right? And they need to take that to the next level and do stuff. Well, I could go in and I could just design it all and make it happen and it could look great. But that would be like a quick fix, right? But the longer issue with that is then is I'm doing all the work and I'm adding more stuff onto my plate. I'm not teaching my students how to become better designers and, you know, help them along in the process. And if I take that time to actually teach them how to be better, especially the editors, well, then they're going to work with the staffers. And then that year is going to work to help the next year out. And they're going to grow incrementally each year and get better and better each time. And that's going to stick. It's like my first year at North. I remember I had a student named Sarah, and she was she was one of my most talented designers that I had. And I really worked with her on becoming a better designer because then other people then started asking her. She was an extension then of me in the room. And she really was kind of a game changer that first year on getting others to see design differently and want to move it to that next level. So while it would have been really easy for me to jump in a lot of areas, whether it's video or photography or design and do stuff on my own, the way the program has really been building and, you know, sustaining itself and the kids taking the pride and ownership in all their work is that they've been the ones, you know, who've been the driving force behind it all.
I love that. I think when you have them motivating each other, setting that bar higher and higher, I think that's totally true. No matter what team or who is around you, you get that little bit of a, ooh, this is where the bar is set. And then you want to either work to be there with them or you want to push it even higher. That's really cool.
Yeah. And that's really, I kind of combined the first two things there. I mean, the first was obviously start slow, like, you know, pick those little things you want to do and go from there. But two really is, get the kids to lead the charge, like teach them to be leaders. One of the toughest things I had my first few years, and I talk about this a lot when I'm working on editor tips and editorial leadership, is, the fact that I realized after a couple years of teaching, my students were not being the editors and leaders that I wanted them to be because I was not doing a good job at all of training them to do that. And so it really made me rethink how can I teach them to be good leaders? Like, we see kids in school all the time that are good leaders. There are times when that comes naturally, but it's really, really small. They, you know, have not taken leadership courses. A lot of times they've just run or been thrust into positions of leadership, and they haven't really been given the tools they need to succeed. And so I think when we can, you know, let the students lead the charge, let them be the ones who are excited about things, they're going to take more ownership in what they're doing. They're going to want to learn more to get better about what they have going on. And it's going to take a lot of pressure off me as an advisor. It's not going to mean I'm just going to sit around and play games on my computer all day, even though, you know, that sounds like a lot of fun, right? But it's going to free me up more time to help those students that are struggling, to help students who need that extra help, or for me to just go around and be a big cheerleader in the room and pat people on the back. And so, yeah, so I think that's like the second one. So number three, another key that I work with them on is just narrow the focus, right? Like, we go in with all these big ideas all the time, and we want to do all these things. We want to make all these changes, but I think it's really important to make that big list of, you know, here are the crucial things right now. If we get that done, maybe here's the second tier of stuff. And then these is the third tier pie in the sky stuff that maybe we'll get to in 5 years or something like that. But if you try to do too many things, then the stuff that you're going to be doing is not going to be done really, really well. So narrowing that focus down, I think is critically important to figure out, like, what are we, you know, what are the students going to be about? What are these publications going to be about? Like, in journalism and communication, there's 9 million things you could be doing. So I try to get a gauge each year of what I think is important for them to be doing, as well as what I think they would like to do. And then I offer those up as choices. So it's not 9,000 offerings that are going to be out there because it's way too difficult to manage, but it's reeling that in, getting a few options for them, you know, like 10 to 15, and then giving them some choice on what they want to do. You know, like, everybody coming in, I don't tell them you have to write, you have to design, you have to be a photographer. I say, hey, here are all the opportunities for you. What would you like to learn and what would you like to get better at? And a lot of them know then and there what they want that to be. And others of them, it leads us to a deeper conversation about what they really want to get out of things or what they want to learn, because a lot of them have never really been asked that or been afforded that luxury before to decide what their path is going to be.
And a lot of times I feel like you don't even know what you want to do until you're exposed to it. So I love that you do that for the students. Just, there's just so many things that you don't even, you know, you think, oh my gosh, I'm not a good writer. I'm not a good writer. Well, maybe you've never either been taught or you've never been shown that there are different ways to write or there are different opportunities. And maybe you are great when you're on the mic and you're doing a live broadcast, or maybe design is where you need to be. I mean, I think that's really cool that you have always pushed for them to try things. I mean, I did that in college. I just remember that time that I did the live anchor where I was like, oh my gosh, really? I just, you know, I'm here with my anchor on the little live broadcast that we did for the college station. And I was so excited we got through it. And I'm like, lift my hand up to give the high five to the guy that was anchoring with me. And it was just like this huge sweat ring right underneath my pit because I was like so nervous. And I didn't know at the time, like what, and everybody's like, oh my gosh, like what's going on? But I always say, like, you know, you have to try stuff and like sweat about it and stress about it or whatever, but you got to sweat through some stuff, I feel like, to figure out what you really want to do. I obviously figured out, hey, I can do it, but is it my favorite thing to be, you know, live, doing live broadcasts all the time in that way? Absolutely not. So I always tell kids, like, hey, you gotta sweat it out, figure out what you want to do. And I think that's really cool. You give the kids the opportunity to do that. So what's another thing you can do to get your program up and running?
Yeah, well, number four, I think, is just be okay with not having things perfect, right? Like, and that's very, very difficult. It's easy to say, and it's a little tougher to do. But it's just remembering that this is not like your publication, right? Like these are student-run publications, and you are there as like the guide to lead them. And I think this is not only like from advisor standpoint to have things be okay with them not being perfect, but it's the same with like editors on staffs and things like that too, right? Like a staffer may not design something exactly like you would have, or it may not be perfect, but it's their first thing that they have ever designed. They are nervous to show it off. They are super excited about it coming out. And I think one of the worst things you can do to somebody is to take that first project they've done, or take one of those new kids who have done things, and then rework their entire thing or redo it so it's so much better or so that it looks great. And instead of slowly building up their confidence and teaching them a few things as you go from a design standpoint or writing standpoint each story, the cutting those corners to try to make things perfect, you know, we're in this grind where things aren't, I mean, they're just not going to be perfect, you know, no matter how hard we try. And so looking at what we can do to just have patience and work to help them grow each month. I'm big on let's be better next month than we were this month. Let's be better this month than we were last month. And if you keep on that trajectory, while it might seem really, really slow going month after month, but you look at back on it after 9 months, you look back on it after 2 years, and there's just an incredible amount of growth that happens in that amount of time.
You know, in the business world, they always say, if you're waiting for it to be perfect, you will never do it. You will never start the business. You will never launch that next project or that next product to bring it to market. Same deal. If you're waiting for it to be absolutely perfect, forget it.
Well, I've learned that from you like so many times. It's like, you know, it's just, hey, we got this amount of time to get this done and we got to knock it down. You could look at it and sweat and labor over it for another 19 hours. And is it really going to change that much? And are you going to, you know, mess it up in the process, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Love it.
So yeah, I think the final thing that I always try to make sure I throw in when I'm talking to editors and advisors is just, and it really is a key in this whole thing, but you've got to make an atmosphere that is fun, right? And I think you and I both, you know, do that to similar extents in our office spaces. I mean, I remember when you went out and were doing job interviews, like, years ago, and you went to two different places, two different office spaces, and you were interviewing for jobs there, and you just felt that one place was going to help you be more productive, tap into that energy that you have, and was just going to be a more fun and creative workspace for you. And I think we both have done those things to emulate that in our own workspaces because, yeah, you got to work and, yeah, we got to learn, but it also should be a place to have some fun so that it doesn't all seem like work.
Oh, for sure. I think building fierce has been one of those extensions of just, for sure, extension of what creative energy I have personally, but then bringing into the space opportunity for the team to participate in that and to be, you know, be a place that they want to come and work and that they want to collaborate in, and, you know, asking them for different ways that, help them, think and create and creating that atmosphere for that. But for sure, I think, again, you know, a lot of agencies, a lot of creative agencies have pool tables and ping pong tables or whatever. And that's awesome. Some, you know, and a lot of offices are starting to do more of that and have those in worked in. I think that's awesome. Honestly, for Fierce Creative, we don't have that because that's not the way that we collaborate and that we start to get creative. It doesn't work for us. Like, we do different types of creative exercises that kind of keep us in tune with each other and working on projects moving forward. So I think it's also like, don't always feel like you have to go with the trend of like what every other newsroom or what every other school is doing. Yeah, take inspiration from that, but then look at your team and look at what works for your staff or your team, and coming up with that is part of the fun of making it happen. And then just being open to new ideas. I let my team bring ideas to our different creative sessions, and we do little activities together, and we, you know, make signage for our big windows and decorate the windows together. And there's just a lot of ways to use people's talents and energy in different ways. That is fun and celebrates what everybody brings to the table.
I think that's such a good point. I mean, I see things all the time, and I actually feel bad sometimes about it, where I see these activities that some advisors are doing with their students and they look to be having so much fun, right? I mean, because everything mm-hmm. is great and wonderful. And then I'm like, sometimes I try things and it works out great. And then other times I'm like, this is just not me, right? This is not my students. And that's not to say like one's good or bad or the other, but it just doesn't fit our style or what we have or kind of who we are. And so I think that's, like that staying true to who you are, knowing who your staffs are. And sometimes we got to bend a little bit with, you know, okay, well, the staff is a little more this way, so I need to be a little bit more that way. Mm-hmm. And vice versa, I think just, you know, helps for that. Again, helping that atmosphere that you're going to be working to create.
Love it. Awesome. Well, I think that really the moral of the story here is if you want to start a program or revamp something, you might as well just call you, do a Zoom call and figure it out. Right?
I feel I'm nearing advanced proficient in my Zoom calling these days. I still haven't changed the background yet. I need to probably do that this week. I have all these like Star Wars ones I've downloaded, and I know other people are doing some really, really cool things. I just am thankful when I can get on the Zoom call with my students and they're not like sending me messages in the chat that say, Manful, your mic is muted. And I've been talking for like 15 seconds, right? So they humor me. It's fine. So.
I know. I loved that. I was on a call the other day and somebody switched their background and we totally lost their head. So there was just like just the shoulders and collar, no head. So it was actually, I didn't want to tell them at first because it was so great. So, but I've also been on mute and flailing my arms about, and for sure the staff is just all laughing at me. And I'm like, I know, I'm so hilarious. And then I realized I was on mute. So I'm sure I looked even crazier than normal. But
well, that right there sums up everything we just talked about, right? Like, it's not going to be perfect, and that's okay. Have some fun with things as you're going about them. And yeah, just work to build that good culture where you're able to do that.
Sounds great. Love it. All right. Well, I guess we would get on your next Zoom call and see what you can do to help revamp, blow up that program.
Let's make it happen.
All right.
Students, if you're looking to expand your communication skill set, anything from writing and design to photography and video, check out our course offerings at medianow.press. Advisors, we have training for you as well, and we are here year-round to offer support. Our goal is to help you get better and get to that next level. See what we have to offer at medianow.press and follow us along on socials at medianowbuzz.